Turning to Matthew chapter 6. We'll read verses 19 through 24. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Money. Money, 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 money. I like money. You like money? I know you like money. Money is an interesting thing. One of my favorite quotes about money comes from the great American thinker, Steve Martin. He says this: I love money. I love everything about it. I bought some pretty good stuff. Got me a $300 pair of socks. Got a fur sink. An electric dog polisher. A gasoline-powered turtleneck sweater. And, of course, I bought some dumb stuff, too. Money is said in the 1972 movie Cabaret, Liza Minnelli sings, money makes the world go round. Makes the world go round. Makes the world go around. And in some ways, maybe that's true, but what do we do with money? The Bible talks a lot about money. Surprisingly so. Some have counted up to 2,300 verses that address money in one way or another. So much, much more considering the context, right? It's interesting to note that 15% or so, about 15% of Jesus' preaching dealt with money. And then of his parables, he told like about 40, depending how you count them. 11 of them deal with money. I mean, money affects all of us, and it's a big deal. One of the largest causes of divorce is money. A lack of money, too much money. People fight over money. People kill because of money. Money causes us to worry, to fear. We're afraid that someone will steal it, or we're afraid that we don't have enough to pay the next bill. Our economy, we live in an affluent nation that's driven by money, that's driven by the need for us to consume, to buy stuff, and to buy more stuff. And more and more and more stuff. And entire businesses are devoted to convincing us to buy more stuff. You need this. You are less if you don't have this. You will be cooler if you have this or more of this or some of that stuff. Well, our scripture today, Jesus addresses money. And he does it in three sets of choices he gives us in this section. And today, we're going to go through one of those sets of choices. And next week, we'll do the next two. But keep in mind that in this sermon, Jesus was not preaching along about being a true disciple and being religious and what we do about righteous and kingdom and all that kind of stuff. And they say, okay, now we're going to take a break and have a financial planning seminar. Have a breakout session and you can get your budgets in control and we'll figure all these things out. No. This is coming right out of the him telling us what it is to be righteous and to be his disciple and where our heart is. Because money is an issue of the heart. More than anything, it's about our heart. So we pray as we go into what Jesus wants to tell us today. Oh God, we need you so bad. This topic, money, is a prickly one. Help us, God. Take the scales from our eyes. Unplug our ears. Soften our hearts to hear your voice today as we look at this topic, this idea of money, and hear what you're really, really trying to tell us. And hear what you really, really want us to do and how you want us to act. Speak to us today, I pray. Amen. So choice number one that Jesus gives to us in this sermon as he transitions from the practice of religion, doing it before other people, prayer, fasting, giving. And it's interesting that he transfers into this idea of money. Because money then is really drives much of our action, right? I would do this, that, or another thing if I had the money to do it. Or I can't do that because I don't have the money. I have to work. I have to do all these things, right? And so we are very, very concerned about money. Now, he starts in verse 19, do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth. What's treasure? What's wealth? Okay, that's what we're talking about here. I mean, that's we're talking about storing up, hoarding, packing away, piling, however you want to look at it, building up of wealth. So don't do that here on earth. But he says, do store up, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So what are we talking about here? Now, the Bible, as I mentioned, speaks a lot about money. And some of that is the problems that you get from money. So look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, Paul talks a lot about money in 1 Timothy. I never noticed that. I really didn't until this week. We'll refer to it several times. But let's start in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. And look at verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. Because of money, people have rejected Christ. Because of money, people who have maybe initially said yes, and then their hearts have grown cold because of money. And you think that's harsh? Turn to James chapter 5. Starting verse 1 of chapter 5. Oh, this is great. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evident against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. How do you really feel, James? Money. Money. Now, it's important to remember as we hear these things that, and I don't think that this prohibition against laying up, storing up treasure, wealth, is an absolute covering thing. Okay, and here's what I mean by that. The Bible speaks of money in positive ways too, all right? It does. Look back at 1 Timothy chapter 5. So in the same book, and you know, Paul's warning Timothy about money, in chapter 5, verse 8, he says this. He's talking about giving instructions to the church, okay, how to take care of things and that kind of stuff. And in verse 8, he says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Right? So, hey, when Jesus says don't lay up treasure, he's not saying sit around and do nothing. All right? We money is an important thing. We should take care of business, so to speak. Take care of our families. Take care of your relatives. In order to give alms, in order to take care of the poor, you have to have something to give to the poor, okay? So we're not talking about sitting around being lazy, all right? In fact, look back in Proverbs chapter 6. We don't want to take Scripture and excuse bad behavior. In Proverbs chapter 6, starting at verse 6, go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. This is good teaching, good advice, all right? It's wisdom. Work hard. Look at the ant. You know, do things. It is important. You know, and part of it too is that, you know, God gave us everything to enjoy. You know, that He gave the creation to enjoy. And we see that if you look again at 1 Timothy, I told you I'd be back there a few times, in chapter 6 again. 1 Timothy 6, in verse 6, where God leads us with contentment is great gain. We are reminded that we are to be content. And then if you go to verse 17, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to what? Enjoy. He gives us stuff to enjoy. We were supposed to enjoy it. We're supposed to, you know, it's okay to enjoy. He says the same thing in chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Is that where I want to be? Yeah. And then go to verse 4. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. Enjoy. Enjoy your food. Enjoy the things God has blessed you with. Be happy. God wants you to be happy. That's his whole purpose. We don't think that way sometimes because our idea of happy is kind of strange, but happy in God and the blessings you have. Okay, so keep in mind that we are not speaking against money in a way that would have us not enjoy God's blessings, that would help us not provide for our families, would not have us provide for the missions of the church. Okay, but we are talking about a serious problem with money. And that is our desire for it above God. That's what we're talking about. So, why then? Why? What's the reason? Why does he say, don't store it up here, don't hoard it here? He gives two reasons here, all right? Two. The first is, and we see, that earthly treasure is temporary. It rots, it rusts, it corrodes. It's temporary, it's fleeting. Whereas heavenly treasure is eternal. It's lasting. Is that just smart? Okay? That makes good financial sense. Why store up things here and pile them up here when it's all going to go away? Is it not better? Isn't that greater to store up things that will last forever and ever and ever and ever and ever? I mean, in eternity to enjoy. It just makes sense. The second reason is that it tells us where our heart is. And that's really the rub of the teaching right here. For where your treasure is, there's your heart. And isn't that what we've been talking about all along here? Isn't that what Jesus has been getting to ever since chapter 5, verse 1, when he sat down with the disciples on top of that hill and started teaching them, blessed are the poor in spirit. When he started teaching them, you say, you know, you should not divorce, but I say that even look at, I mean, on and on and on. He's going for the heart. God wants our hearts. He's concerned about the moral state of our hearts. He's concerned of the religious state of our hearts. He's concerned of how we think and how we do. He wants all of us. And where our treasure is reveals then where our heart really is. Like I said, he didn't take a break here to have breakout sessions on financial planning. He's concerned about our hearts and about his kingdom and about what's eternal and about what is best and what is greatest for us, his bride, his love. When we consider the heart, we're speaking of the mind, our emotions, our wills, the central core of our being, of really who we really are. And those things are revealed in what we value. Theologian D.A. Carson puts it this way. The most cherished treasure subtly but infallibly controls the whole person's direction and values. Okay? What you cherish will determine the direction of your life and the values that you hold. And it's interesting here when Jesus teaches us in Matthew 6 here, he intentionally wants to really drive home this point, because, again, this is, you know, Bible geeky nerdy stuff, but in verse 21, he switches from a third person plural, okay, second person plural, you, all of you, and in this one, he switches to second person singular. Your, where your treasure is, your hearts will be. He says, don't lay up for yourselves. Okay, folks, don't do all these things. But when he gets to the point, he zeroes it in where your treasure is. Yours, 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 yours. That's where your heart is.
Right.
And we have to take it seriously. We have to think, Jesus, what do you want me to know here? And that's our question. And it's huge.
Yeah.
Where is your heart? It's eternally important. Our very eternal soul hangs on this question. Where is your heart? And if you want to know where your heart is, if you really want to understand that you are truly a disciple, you ask yourselves, where's my treasure? Where is my treasure? And what does that look like then? How do we determine that? Another theologian that I read this week, Greg Keener, he puts it this way. He says, if we really trust God, okay, if we really trust Him, we will act as if treasure in heaven is what really matters. Okay? That's what it comes down to. Do we act? Are the things we do, the things we say, the conversations we have, the things we buy, how we buy them, how much we buy, is that reflective on really thinking and believing that treasure in heaven is what really matters? Look in the book of Colossians here. Colossians chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So I think that's one aspect of determining where our treasure is. What do you think about? Where does your mind go? What drives you as you're going throughout the day? Romans 8 says a very similar thing, doesn't it? Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, and those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. Where's your mind throughout the day? What kind of things do you think about when things are quiet? Set them on above. Set them on eternal things. Get your mind focused in that direction, because that's what you value. If you value it, that's what you're going to think about, right? In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus has a rich young man come up to him and ask him what he needs to do to have eternal life. You know, and Jesus gives him a kind of answer, you know, do this, you know. And the man says, I've done all these things. And then what does Jesus tell him? One thing you gotta have to do. He says, sell your possessions, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. And you remember what that young man did? He turned away. I can imagine Jesus' heart just breaking at seeing that young man walk away because of money, because he had a lot of stuff. Acting like treasure in heaven is what matters is a matter of our checkbooks, our bank accounts. And it's so hard. I have hundreds of dollars worth of camping, hiking, outdoor gear. I do. And again, not to say that it's bad, wrong, but where's my heart? Do I need another fly fishing rod? Do I need another tent? Do I need a lighter backpack? Do I need a smaller stove? All these questions come up. I mean, I'm wrestling right now. You know, I went on this hike this summer, and my mind immediately went to, I need to lighten this pack up. I know there's a $250 hammock that I can get that's like 2 pounds less. That would be awesome. How can I get that? What can I do? What can I save? How can I get this by my wife? Where's my heart? Where's my heart? That's a great question. One last place. Let's go to Revelation chapter 14. I mention this one because this kind of, if your heart is in the right place, if this is your thinking and this is the direction you're going, Revelation 14 kind of gives us some focus here. Starting in verse 12. Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. Okay, that's us. Okay? That's us. Followers of Christ. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their deeds will follow them. What we do here matters. Our acts, the things we do, matter. They will follow us. What do we want to follow us in our rest? Tents and backpacks? Or service to Christ? On work for His kingdom? On helping poor people? On feeding the hungry? On reaching the lost in the dark, dark places of the world? Those are treasures in heaven. And they will follow us. It's about having an eternal perspective and not a narrow, temporal perspective. Now, again, when we talk about money, it can be delicate. And I don't want to beat anybody up. All right, my desire for all of us is to have hearts for Christ, to know Him more, to love Him more. And I know, I don't have to look past my nose, my face, to understand the difficulty that money can be. Rich and poor are affected the same. Those who have a lot of money are, again, fearful of losing it, or want more. Those who don't have money, which has often been the case in my life, you know, figuring out how to get more, you're worried about it, you think about it, you're anxious about it. It drives us. And Christ is saying, don't worry about these things. In fact, that's exactly what we're going to talk about in a week or two here. If our treasure's on heaven, God's saying, hey, I will take care of you. Amen. Do you really trust me? Do you really trust me? Do you trust me enough to, instead of, you know, putting that $10,000 in the bank just in case, giving it to a missionary in Belize or Asia or something, right? I mean, that's the kind of thing we're talking about. How do we use our money, and how do we lay up eternal treasure? And this is very practical. It's how we act. It's the things we do day by day and the things we talk about day by day. And like I mentioned last week, I mean, if this is what you want, if your desire, then it should drive you. And you should be thinking, you're thinking all the time, okay, making choices. Yeah, flip through your checkbook. Look at that register. What kind of things are on there? I constantly do that. It drives me crazy. I come in a month and going, man, where did the money go? And I look at it and going, oh my gosh, I spent, because it adds up quick, Quick trip here, quick trip there. Next thing you know, you're talking about real cash. And I got to wonder some months when I look at it and going, man, if I had been thinking in an eternal way, I might not have done these things. Yeah, $2 here, $4 there. All of a sudden, it's $50, and I start thinking, man, instead of $50 worth of glazers and coffee, I could give $50 to World Vision and help children eat. I could do whatever. And maybe, like I said last week, maybe you're in the category of you want to. All right, that's a real place. You look at your checkbook, but you know those desires are there. You know, oh my gosh, I want things. I have plans. I want to do this. I want to travel. And you start thinking, oh my gosh, if I really, really give myself all in here, then I'm not going to be able to see this or do that or have these things. And I want them. You remember. And I have that problem, for years and years. And it's still there a little bit. I have a great desire to have a sailboat capable of going across an ocean, taking it and going down to Central America and seeing islands, take it across the Atlantic. A great adventure, one thing, and then seeing things. Going through the Straits of Gibraltar into the Mediterranean, seeing that. To travel through the Greek islands, to go up to the fjords of Norway with a boat. Go to Tahiti or to more. And I think, but if I save my money, then maybe I won't be able to do that. Maybe I can't. And that's sad in some ways. But what if I remember things like, you're an heir of God and fellow heir with Christ. What do you have? Everything. And when the end comes and this body gives out and that trumpet calls, and I'm resurrected and have a new body, one that, like Jesus has now, that's strong and healthy and will live forever, how long will I have then to sail or climb or camp or see things or do whatever? How long? Forever. I can do it all of it. and a new heaven and a new earth. It's going to be better and clearer than we can even imagine. That's a good thing to remember. And I forget it all the time. I do. It's so frustrating. That's what Jesus is calling to us here. That's the choice in me. What treasure will you choose? Moment by moment, day by day. Something to think about. The sacrifice that Jesus gave. He gave us all. He's our example. So let's consider that with our money. For His glory and for His kingdom. And store up things that are going to last forever. Amen?
Yeah.
Let me pray one more time. Father, I am grateful to You for what You've given and how You love us. Lord, search our hearts. Lord, we may want to do what's right. We may want to follow You with everything we have, but we fail. And we know we fail. Maybe, we want to. Lord, help us to get to there even. To want to store up treasures in heaven and not here on earth. Show us what You would have us to do and to act today. Moment by moment, day by day. To show that we really do trust You and not this world. That we don't have to be afraid. But You are with us always. Thank You, Lord. Help us to encourage each other in these things as together we walk for Your glory, for Your kingdom. We pray. Amen. 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 Go with God this week. Encourage each other, please. Oh, yeah. And just a reminder, too. Yes, thank you. And in light of all this, first Sunday of the month, we'll have an offering plate at the back for a benevolent offering. It's a little extra above and beyond to set aside some things to help those who are needy that come to our church and need some help. So encourage you in that too. Thank you.